going on, everybody? Halloween! Just like JBL said, how many of you went trick-or-treating or sent your kids to other people's houses and begged for food? You begged for food tonight. How's everybody doing? Hope your Monday night is doing good. Hope your weekend was spectacular. Raw just went off the air. And we got new tag team champions. Yes, Alexa Bliss, Asuka, tag team champions leading right into Crown Jewel. No, they don't have a scheduled match, but they apparently will be in the corner of Bianca Belair. And Bayley will have Dakota Kai and Io Sky in her corner as well. So, hey, congratulations, Alexa Bliss and Asuka. I tell you, man, anybody tunes in on a weekly basis, there is a lot of love out there for Asuka. Not saying that there isn't love for Alexa Bliss, but a lot of people feel that, you know, Asuka, why is she not breaking through? She's better than the way she's been utilized. Well, Alexa and Asuka are now tag champs. They do work well together. And let me say this. I mean, there's no denying it. Alexa Bliss is not going to put on a 4 or 5 star match. Everybody knows it. She knows it. She's not a bad in the ring. But Asuka just enhances Alexa to another level. Because with Asuka as her partner, Asuka could do what she does best. And you put the two together. I mean, you look at tag teams over the years. You take the most legendary tag. Now, look, I'm not saying that Asuka and Alexa Bliss are going to be a legendary tag team. That's not what I'm saying. But if you look at some of the greatest tag teams in history, in many cases, one of the teammates is a little bit better than the other. Throw out examples. Start thinking about it. Think of some of the greatest tag teams in history. And I would say at least 3/4 of the time, there would be pretty much an agreement that one tag team partner was better than the other. So I'm not knocking this. Congrats to both of them. We'll see how long they hold it. Easy peasy, right? All right. We also tonight had the lead into Crown Jewel. That was the majority of tonight's show. But we had a couple of little things as well. It being Halloween, Otis and Chad Gable dressing up as Chippendales. And listen, man, Otis having a little bit of a fun time doing the worm, getting a little bit of that baby face reaction tonight. I loved it. I loved it. It was a fun episode of Raw. Was everything off the hook? No. But honestly, there wasn't a bad segment. I mean, like a really bad segment. I could even let the Dexter Lumis Miz secret, I could let it slide because of how great Johnny Gargano just enhances the whole segment. We found out the secret tonight. And by the way, what about Seth Rollins and Austin Theory having a tremendous match? And Seth Rollins, we've talked about it. WWE is testing him on the house show circuit. Austin Theory and Seth Rollins tore it up on the house shows recently. They knew they were going to put on a great performance tonight. And that crowd, they're just loving Seth Rollins. And it makes me feel good. Because I've never left the bandwagon of Seth Rollins. And yeah, he might be second to Roman Reigns. And I think there's probably nobody out there that could surpass Roman Reigns right now. I don't think Seth Rollins should be complaining right now. He's doing a spectacular job. And by the way, if you did not see Raw tonight, Seth Rollins has tweaked his hair color a little bit. It's not necessarily Shield. Remember in the Shield, he had one half of his hair blonde and the other one, you know, dark color. Now he's got highlights. Like it's like more like streaks. I don't even know what you call it, but if you want to see what his hair looks like now, you take a look at the screen and you'll see him with the curb stomp. There you go. I can't show you all that long, but yeah, you could see it. There you go. So I like it. I like it. It's kind of like a combination of both. So, tonight we're going to recap Raw a little bit. We're going to do Crown Jewel predictions tonight. And the reason why we're doing it tonight is because, number one, SmackDown is already taped. I will not give you spoilers. You want spoilers? Sure, you know where to look. I will give you a non-spoiler preview tonight, but coming out of SmackDown, we know there's no matches changing. I'm very surprised they have not announced Seth Rollins versus Mustafa Ali at Crown Jewel. I think that match will be added. I'm very shocked that no match has been announced for either Ali or Mansoor, simply because, you know, coming to Saudi Arabia, I mean, they love those guys. So I expect an announcement. Just like I told everyone that Bray Wyatt was going to be in Saudi Arabia. You know, remember what I said? Bray Wyatt now is the new Undertaker when it comes to pomp, spectacle, Saudi Arabia. Bray Wyatt is going to appear at Crown Jewel. No, he will not be wrestling. In fact, if you missed yesterday's edition of the Sit Down, I'm sure we will have this discussion on Thursday with JD from New York. I'm going to discuss with JD in detail where Uncle Howdy is going, where Bray Wyatt is going. All these rumors that the WWE's imminent of putting Bray versus Roman Reigns. Fuck came up with that? That's absolutely ridiculous. But we'll talk about it. And I made a little prediction yesterday. I'm not necessarily a prediction, but don't be surprised if Bray Wyatt does not wrestle until WrestleMania. And at WrestleMania, he may have a cinematic match wrestling himself. Don't know. Not breaking news. It's just the vibe that I'm getting right now. And we'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes. So we'll do predictions in a little bit. Yeah, cheap plug. I might as well plug it again because I know after what went down this weekend with all of the discussion about this upcoming women's match on Dynamite, Jade Cargill versus Marina Shafir. Oh, my God. Or should I say, oh, God, no. Think about that. Somebody writes, oh, God, no, on social media. And social media decides for this weekend, we're not going to be Usy. We are just going to cancel somebody out. And just because you don't like someone, and just because that person gets under your skin, and just because that person might have a following that you scratch your head and you say, why? I don't get it. Sometimes I ask that. That doesn't mean you cancel the person out. No disrespect intended. I defended Marina Shafir with, you don't know me. I defend Marina Shafir. I have defended Jade Cargill. I think she's going to be a superstar. I'm not criticizing any of the women wrestlers. But what I saw this weekend was disgusting. But it was also expected because each and every person on social media that thought they were finally getting their revenge on a podcaster, JD from New York, look in the mirror. You all complain and you all talk about how toxic this guy is. You all were trying to grab scraps. You were all trying to crucify that guy. You're no better. I'm not criticizing JD, but everyone out there that thought this was a badge of honor, and to be honest with you, I don't want to get into any controversy, but somebody sent me a tweet tonight that Jade Cargill said, you know, something like, I love you guys, social media, keep going for this weekend. I don't applaud watching people online trying to cancel, crucify, no matter how much someone could be a dick, to celebrate that. You know who was the class act out of all of this? You know who's the class act out of all of this? Marina Shafir. She didn't say a word. She's going to do a thing. She's trying. There's no question she's working her ass off. She is not a longtime professional wrestler. And she just decided, you know what? Water off a duck's back. I'm sure it hurt. But what I saw this weekend was awful. And I didn't even know about it until probably an hour before I went live yesterday. So believe me when I tell you, we're going to have a little discussion about that on Thursday. And for any goofs out there that think, oh, I'm trying to capitalize by having JD on, this shit was announced 6 weeks ago. So we invite all of you to join us Thursday. Yeah, join me Wednesday too, but Thursday, 8:05 p.m., special episode, yours truly. And JD, these are the topics that we're going to be covering, plus any super chats that come out. Yes, we do this for work as well. We will talk. You could pause this on the way back as far as the topics. For anybody that's on audio only, you'll see the topics in the synopsis as well. So, all right, that's another day. We also got to talk about the PWI 150, women's top 150. And I'm just expressing my opinion. But I'll just show it to you. This, my friends, hold on. This was last year. This was their first ever. Guys, gals, their first ever. We're going to break our cherry. Women's top 150. So if we're going to have our first ever top 150, we better show all of the stars out there. We're going to show Indies. We're going to show Japan. We're going to show Sasha. We're going to show Bianca. We're going to show even Nikki A.S.H. Oh, wonderful. What a difference 12 months makes. Look at the right. Japan. Japan. Stardom. Japan. Japan. Kenny Omega. AEW. Remember last year's awards? AEW had the PWI semen all over them. This is why Pro Wrestling Illustrated, this is not Bill Apter's Pro Wrestling Illustrated. This is just the shill for whoever will shill them. And every wrestler that is in this awards, believe me, I tell you, a lot of people who are not in AEW, you should take pride of being noticed by any media outlet out there. Props to everybody who made this list. But when you're going to tell me after 12 months that Sayuri is going to be the number one women's wrestler of the last 12 months, to me, it's a joke. It's a joke. Now, I don't want to go back to this later on, because if someone decides, hey, I want to fuck with Don Tony, let me just take this clip. Let me explain why. Let me explain why. You know, for those that don't know, with the PWI 150, they actually posted their criteria of how they come up with their list. In-ring achievement. Now, yes, this is sports entertainment. It's predetermined. If your promoter says you lose, and tomorrow you lose, and tomorrow you win, and then tomorrow, next week, the week after, you lose, 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 lose. You know, in-ring achievement is fine, but remember, this is predetermined. Influence on the sport and the promotion. Yes, I agree with that wholeheartedly. Influence on the sport. Absolutely. Remember, keep that one in your mind for a minute. Technical ability. Technical ability is obviously crucial. But some of the greatest sports entertainers slash wrestlers in our lifetime may not have even needed to have five-star matches. This is why some wrestlers have 20-year careers. Because you don't have to almost make yourself crippled just to get an extra star in a rating, and you cut 5 years off your career. Why do you think so many people want Sammy Guevara to pull it back? Not because he thinks he's loco. Hey, I'm loco. No, because they want to see him wrestle 10 years from now. It's not just, you know, what people expect. Quality. Quality. And the quality of their competition. Remember that one when we talk about Jade Cargill. This is not a shot on Jade Cargill. Whatever happened this week has nothing to do with it. Level of competition. Remember that. And the last one, activity. Obviously, you don't want someone that's only had a couple of matches, even though I think there's a minimum of like 10 matches to be on this list. So anyway, we're not going to get into the whole list. But I want to give you the top 10. And then I want to use one person from that top 10 and show you who that person was above. It'll blow your fucking mind. So anyway, without further ado, and we'll move on. This will only take literally a minute or two. All right, let's do this. Let's pull this up. Okay, there you go. That's their cover. Let's see who number 10 was. Number 10 was Taya Valkyrie. Absolutely deserves it. Since her WWE release, which was absolutely a joke how they treated her, she absolutely deserves number 10. No argument here. Number 9, Starlight Kid. All right. Okay. You know, I mean, I know why there's a buzz about her. You know, all right. Let's go a little further. Number 8, Charlotte Flair. Anybody that tunes into these shows knows I am one of the biggest Charlotte Flair fans there is. Charlotte Flair is the number one woman in pro wrestling in recent memory. She's got all 6 tools. But if you look over the last 12 months, Charlotte Flair's number of matches and even some of her spurts is nowhere near that she should be a number 8. She's got a legacy, and she will go right back to the top when she returns very, very shortly, sooner than you think. She should not be number 8, in my opinion. I'm being fair over here. Number 7, Saya Kamitani. I'm saying this with all respect intended. How many of you out there have ever seen a Saya Kamitani match? Keep that thought in your head. Number 6, talk to me, Jordynne Grace. Jordynne Grace absolutely deserves to be on this list. Jordynne Grace has worked her fucking ass off the last 2 years. She definitely deserves to be in the top 10. No complaints here. Is she the number 1 wrestler? No, but she definitely has done great. Jade Cargill, number 5. Jade Cargill is 40-0. Jade Cargill is doing great. Jade Cargill is going to be a superstar. Go look at those 40 wins. Go look at, and I'm not dissing Jade Cargill, but you look at the guidelines and you're telling me that Jade Cargill over the last 12 months should be ranked higher than, here, I'll give you some, Britt Baker, Mickie James, Mandy Rose, Ronda Rousey. Well, not Ronda Rousey. She hasn't had enough matches. Deonna Purrazzo. What about Camille? Toni Storm? Sasha Banks? Sasha Banks, over the last 12 months, has had more than 40 matches. What about Mercedes Martinez? Should I keep going? I could keep going. I mean, you'd think, and she's number 5. Okay, let's continue. Number four, Becky Lynch. Okay, Becky Lynch has not been out all that long. I'm not really complaining about Becky Lynch being in the top 10. 4 might be a little bit high. If she never got injured, I would say number 4 is fair. Maybe in a lower part of the top 10 I would go with, but she is ranked number 4. Number three, no drum rolls, Thunder Rosa. Thunder Rosa, I almost feel I put in the same category as Becky Lynch. If Thunder Rosa never got injured, I would say absolutely number 3. I would say because of the injury and because of the lack of matches, you know, keep in mind, Thunder Rosa works a lot of other promotions as well. Do not base her 12 months on only her AEW record. She does a hell of a lot more. But because of the injury, I would probably put her maybe 5 or 6 on this list. But, all right, here's where controversy goes. You already know who's number 1. Can you figure out who's number 2? Bianca Belair. Bianca Belair was number 1 last year. Think about SummerSlam a year ago. Think about SummerSlam 2021 and how she lost to Becky Lynch. And at that time, everybody was saying that Bianca's in a lull, that it just feels like it's not working. It's good they took the title off her, this and that. Look at how far Bianca Belair has come since SummerSlam of last year compared to now. And you're going to tell me that she is ranked below Sayuri? Sayuri, if you've never seen her work, she is incredible. She might be the next Asuka to come to the United States. She is fucking great. But here's my problem with this. Last night, I gave a quick example. I brought up the Yankees. The Yankees, you know, are not very well liked, especially in the 90s, maybe the 2007, late 70s, absolutely. But the Yankees are the Yankees. And if the Yankees, for 2 years in a row, have the best record, have the most home runs, batting average, lowest ERA, in the clutch, whip, whatever you want to use, and the Yankees are ranked at the top, even if you don't like the Yankees, if they are ranked at the top, you got to keep them at number one. And what this felt like this year was, oh my, this is my honest opinion. Think back to last year's awards that PWI gave out. They gave out a boatload to AEW. And all the wrestlers, and they should take pride, but all the wrestlers portrayed it to the world. Portrayed it to the world. And they got a lot of attention from AEW. So PWI, nowhere near what it used to be, struggling. And, you know, you see people don't even work for them that used to. It's not your grandfather or even father's PWI. But after last year, look how much attention we got. So now it's like, let's put all our attention in Japanese wrestling, a little AEW, give them the acknowledgement. Sorry, in my opinion, Bianca Belair. And here's the last part of it. When 95% of American wrestlers out there, because this is an American magazine, if this was a Japanese magazine and they put Sayuri number one, absolutely, because the majority of their readers watch Sayuri on a weekly basis. 95% of people in the United States and certain areas abroad have never watched a Sayuri match. So when you talk about the effect on the sport, especially when we were in COVID and there were more restrictions in Japan than there was here in the last 12 months, that is ridiculous. And honestly, my friends, that will be the last time I spend this amount of time on PWI lists. Maybe in the future we'll just give a quick overview. But, you know, when you look at this list and you see that even, look at Rhea Ripley. You're telling me that Rhea Ripley didn't have as many matches as some of the others on that list? She wasn't out that long. Where is she on this list? Mandy Rose has had an incredible 12 months, and she was ranked 21. Maki Ito actually ranked higher than Rhea Ripley. Maki Ito was ranked 37, and Rhea Ripley was ranked number 42. Need I say any more? Look, this, I just give opinions. You could agree with me, disagree with me, but respect my views. I respect yours. This is not a shit campaign on anything like that, but let's move on. If you haven't heard about it already, Forbidden Door has been broken a little bit. The great Muda, who will be retiring, I believe in February. I think his retirement match with Sting is in February. But Shinsuke Nakamura will be gone. I talked about it yesterday. It reminded me of Bret Hart when Bret Hart was still a WWF champion and he took on Terry Funk in Amarillo for WrestleFest in 1997. Props to WWE for showing respect to the great Muda. Shinsuke Nakamura will be going to Japan. He will be part of the NOAH event on January 1st, 2023. And Shinsuke will be taking on the great Muda. So I think that is fucking awesome. I think they have faced each other twice in the past, and I think Muda may have won both matches. I know Muda won one of them because I remember there was a title on the line. The second one, I'm not sure. But very cool. Very cool to see that. All right. So we'll talk. Let's talk a little bit about Raw. We'll get into a few other topics as well. Raw tonight was a fun episode. It was a very fun episode. And yes, like I said before, I kind of, you know, can let the Dexter Lumis Miz thing go because of Johnny Gargano's acting. And yes, I know it didn't open up Raw. We talk about an overview, and if you decide you want to watch it, you watch it. So they decided to do like a 48 hours thing where WWE investigates Johnny Gargano tell all interview. And Byron Saxton is the news reporter. Now, earlier in the night, Roman Reigns came out. Not with Sami Zayn or the Usos. They are overseas touring with WWE. Very stupid for WWE to send them back to the United States. SmackDown is already taped. They're overseas. I don't know if they were in Germany over the weekend, but they will be heading the Usos to Saudi Arabia. Sami Zayn will be going home. Sami Zayn will not be in Saudi Arabia. But Roman Reigns coming out tonight, and you have the fans chanting, Usi. And Reigns says that he has the Usos and Sami Zayn around the world right now, getting a little more Usi. And when they come back, they think Jey Uso will be a little bit more Usi as well. Then Roman Reigns touts how he's the greatest of all time, but he refuses to hype up the match in Saudi Arabia because he is not going to acknowledge an outsider. Paul Heyman will. Paul, say something stupid. So Paul Heyman gets on the mic, and he starts getting ready to talk. Ladies and gentlemen! And he's interrupted by The Miz. So we're wondering, what does The Miz have to do with this? The Miz tells Roman Reigns, hey, we can help each other. And Roman's like, you mean like I scratch your back, you scratch my back? And The Miz says, nobody knows Logan Paul better than me. And Paul Heyman is worried about the screws in Logan Paul's hand. Like an Iron Mike Sharp thing. Or Lex Luger. Remember Lex Luger with the plate? So Paul Heyman is worried about the screws. And The Miz says, no, it's true. It's true. Those screws in Logan Paul's hand, he can knock you out with one punch. So Miz says, look, if you help me with the person who we will not name, Dexter Lumis, I will help you with Logan Paul. So Roman Reigns says, how come everybody is worried about Logan Paul knocking me out? Why does everybody keep talking about Logan Paul knocking me out? Boom! Superman punch to The Miz. Knocks The Miz out. He says, when everybody should be talking about me knocking out Logan Paul. So The Miz is laid out. Obviously, no deal done. Roman Reigns leaves the ring. Pissed the fuck off. Shaking the camera. I own this show. This is my show. This is my camera. I'm tired of being humble. I'm tired of letting people think that they have a chance. And Roman selling it like $1 million. So Roman storms off. Miz laid out in the ring. Miz selling that he has a broken jaw. He's supposed to take on Mustafa Ali. The Miz is interviewed by Kathy Kelly in the back. Not only is he trying to get the match canceled, but if that tell-all interview by Johnny Gargano airs, The Miz is going to sue WWE for defamation. Mustafa Ali shows up. Sorry about your jaw. You know what they say in Texas? Everything is bigger in Texas. Well, almost anything. And Miz is like, don't you say it. Don't you say it. Can't get Miz to corpse. And Mustafa's like, Miz has tiny balls. Really, really fast. So Miz, that's it. You talk about his tiny balls, Miz is going to face Mustafa Ali later on in the night. So, Miz ends up losing to Mustafa Ali. We're getting to the Johnny Gargano, and then we'll talk about the other things. So Miz and Mustafa Ali having a decent match. They go brawl around the announcer's table, commentator's table. You know what's going to happen. Dexter Lumis shows up at ringside, tries to choke out Miz. Security chases Dexter Lumis. Miz enters the ring, is looking the other way, distracted, eats a super kick. Mustafa Ali with a 450 splash. Mustafa Ali gets the pin. So not only does The Miz get knocked out from Roman Reigns, he loses to Mustafa Ali. And then we get the tell-all interview. Now, nothing I can do will do this justice, but if you can, go out of your way and watch it. Johnny Gargano was great in this. Johnny Gargano is basically, you know, and look, let's be honest. The excuse given is stupid. It's very stupid. But Johnny Gargano made it as entertaining as possible. So Johnny Gargano, to make a long story short, he talks about Dexter Lumis and NXT. We see a lot of footage from NXT. We see the wedding to Indy Hartwell. We see some segments. Remember when he was in the bed and the skits with Johnny Gargano? And Johnny Gargano says that Dexter Lumis was married into the NXT family. But then Dexter lost his job. And Johnny Gargano says that Toronto, his WWE Raw debut, August 22nd, 2022, he heard The Miz on the phone with Dexter Lumis. And basically, Johnny Gargano plays, apparently recorded audio of The Miz on the cell phone talking to Dexter Lumis. And The Miz is basically, apparently, The Miz originally conspired with Dexter Lumis. He paid Dexter Lumis to beat him up a few times because The Miz always wants the attention on himself. And Dexter Lumis needed the money because Dexter Lumis lost his job. So basically we see a reenactment. That's Johnny Gargano. He's reenacting, pretending he's Dexter Lumis on the street begging for money, and he dresses, this is what it was. See the money being thrown? Look, the bit. Look, there's Dexter. That's supposed to be Dexter. He's picking up the money, and there's The Miz. So The Miz controlled Dexter Lumis because he was hard up for cash. So now Byron Saxton is like, why is he using a chair? Why did Dexter do this? Why did Dexter do this? Now, yeah, the story sounds stupid. So Johnny Gargano says, look, I can't verify this, but I think The Miz stopped paying Dexter Lumis. And now Dexter Lumis is really trying to hurt Miz. So that's the secret. That The Miz took advantage of a down and out, broke Dexter Lumis, paid him money to have Dexter stage, as he showed you. See, terrible actor The Miz. Stage. Remember the first couple of times when Dexter Lumis showed up and he was just staring at people, but he didn't attack Miz? I know we talked about it on the show at that time. They addressed that tonight as well. Like, see, at first, you know, he was just looking at him, but then The Miz, you know, paying him, you know, do this, put the attention on me. Why is The Miz being attacked? We should all feel sorry for The Miz. So, take the story how you want. The excuse is stupid. There's no doubt the excuse is stupid. But Johnny Gargano was great in this. And you know what? Props to Johnny Gargano because, you know, you think of Johnny wrestling, and for the last couple of weeks, it's been mostly, you know, sports entertainment. Johnny sports entertainment, and you know what? So what? So what? He's been on fire with this. Let's not forget R-Truth, who's also been on fire. Tonight we had JBL hit the ring, and he's trashing Texas. First, he's putting Texas over. And he's talking about the history of Texas. He's talking about sports. He talks about from Nolan Ryan to, I think, Emmett Smith or Tony Dorsett, from the Von Erichs to Stone Cold Steve Austin. Texas was awesome until you snowflakes came along and turned Texas into an embarrassment. He mocks Texas for sending their kids to Halloween, on Halloween, door-to-door, begging for food. Everyone get up off your snowflake little feet. Put your woke, chubby hands together for the new wrestling god, Baron Corbin. Corbin hits the ring, starts trashing Texas. The minute Corbin uses the word truth, R-Truth's music hits. R-Truth comes out. He's commenting about JBL and Corbin's costumes. JBL says, we're not wearing costumes. R-Truth says, oh, yes, you are. He mocks JBL, goes to mock Corbin. Corbin tries to attack R-Truth. R-Truth gets the best of Corbin for a moment, but then JBL distracts R-Truth. R-Truth ends up eating an end of days. We'll probably have that match next week on Raw. So, but very, very fun segment. I don't think anybody could complain about that. Opening tonight, and you see we're obviously talking more about the segments than anything else. You know, we had Bianca Belair taking on Nikki Cross. Now, I honestly thought this match was going to end in a no contest due to Bayley's interference, but we actually got a win on behalf of Bianca Belair. And I know some people are a little bit upset, like, okay, Nikki Cross has a new attitude and she still loses. I thought she did great tonight, and I thought she advanced her character a little bit. And look, Bianca Belair is the champion, so most people lose to the champion. You know, unless sometimes we get those dumb losses for non-title matches to set up a title match. You know, we've seen that in WWE forever. And it does happen under Triple H as well. It has happened at least twice already. But Nikki Cross, I thought, did a great job. You know, we had Alexa Bliss and Asuka at ringside. And, you know, when I saw this picture earlier today, my first thought was, oh, Alexa, you look like you're about to be Sister Abigail. No sign of joining the Wyatt Six. Did Alexa tonight look like she's going to join Wyatt Six? People failed. That was an epic fail with that Wyatt Six stuff. Maybe 2 years from now, maybe Bray Wyatt has a faction of five plus him. Then they'll say, see, long-term booking. I told you back in 2022. They epic fail. Alexa Bliss, they are not changing her character. Not anytime soon. So earlier, you know, they're in the back. Hey, Bayley has always supported us. We're going to support Bayley as well. They will be at Bayley's side in Crown Jewel, and Dakota Kai and Io Sky will as well. But Asuka and Alexa Bliss did not forget what Sky and Kai did to them. So they issued a challenge tonight for the women's tag titles, and Sky and Kai accepted. So women's tag title set to main event tonight. And as I showed you earlier, they won. Bayley and Bianca Belair got involved, and Bayley hit Bianca Belair with a Bayley to Bayley, through a table while it was standing on, I guess, maybe some type of sound speaker. They was on some elevated barricade, and she put Bianca Belair through a table. So they were out for the remainder of the match. So with Bayley incapacitated and Bianca Belair incapacitated, Alexa Bliss and Asuka got the upper hand, and they won. Yeah, shocking win. And we got some fireworks tonight. They even closed out with a little bit of fireworks to celebrate it. So, good for them. Again, I have no problem with it. We take a wait-and-see approach. I absolutely enjoyed the trick or street fight. I didn't know what to expect. You know, it was funny. I had said yesterday that I'd like to see maybe some cosplay with Otis and Riddle. But I said yesterday, I can't picture Riddle wearing Alpha Academy garb unless it's he could fit into Chad Gable's. We did get cosplay tonight. As I showed you earlier, Otis, Chad Gable did Chippendales. That almost reminded me of that segment from Saturday Night Live. Who's the guy? Oh my God, Chris Farley. Remember when Chris Farley was the Chippendale? Now I am not lifting my shirt. I am, but something tells me I probably could do a good impersonation of Chris Farley. You know, with my shirt lifted. But that's what they did tonight. Matt Riddle came out dressed as Ezekiel, wearing Ezekiel's tights. And even Elias is like, are you wearing Ezekiel's tights? So Matt Riddle dressed as Ezekiel tonight, and Matt Riddle gets the win. And the one spot I absolutely loved, this spot. I don't know if you saw this, but the finish at the very end, check this out. Look at this. RKO. I almost said stunner. RKO with the pumpkin. One more time. Okay. Wasn't perfect, but it was all right. It was okay. It was a fun match. They actually did good. And, you know, to see Otis having a little bit of fun and doing a worm, you know, the crowd was having some fun with it as well. It was a fun episode. You know, you don't have to be an ultimate asshole when you're a heel. Sometimes you could lighten up a little bit. As I said earlier, Seth Rollins beat Austin Theory. Excellent, excellent match. Very surprised Mustafa Ali did not get involved. Very surprised they did not announce that match for Crown Jewel. Maybe it gets announced later this week. When we do predictions, I will give that prediction also. I mean, it's not rocket science. I seriously doubt Seth Rollins is losing his championship anytime soon. So there is, in my opinion, if that match goes down, Seth Rollins is retaining. So, Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar. I enjoyed the shit out of this. We thought we were getting a split screen tonight. Bobby Lashley looking dapper as always. Bobby Lashley saying that Brock Lesnar has avoided him for 20 years, and he calls Brock Lesnar a Bobby Lashley wannabe. Now, you want to hear something funny, everyone? If you ever recap Raw and you ever do something with like a Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar segment, do not do it under the influence of any alcohol whatsoever. I had two glasses of wine tonight with my wife. I wasn't buzzed, but because I don't drink all that often, it kind of like hits me a little bit. And when I was taking my notes, I'm literally looking at it right now. I wrote, BL said that BL has been ducking him for 20 years. BL calls BL a BL wannabe. And I stopped and I read it back and I was like, wait a minute. If I didn't see that segment and I'm just jotting notes, BL, they got the same fucking initials. Bobby Lashley, Brock Lesnar. I wrote BL and told BL. And I'm like, thank God I watched the segment. I started confusing myself. So when I wrote Brock Lesnar, I wrote BLE for Lesnar. So notice there's no Brock Lesnar in the chair. Brock Lesnar hits the ring. Now, this was interesting. I don't know if anybody caught it. Triple H came out during this segment, and he said something five times. Yet Kevin Patrick nor Corey Graves ever acknowledged what Triple H said. Now, when it was happening, now you would think this would be earth-shattering when you hear Triple H saying what he's saying. Now, for those that don't know, Triple H apparently said earlier that if Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, BL and BL, put their hands on each other, the match is off. So Brock Lesnar comes out. He's putting over Texas. He says, you know, he wants a fight in Texas. So, Bobby Lashley, BL, get your ass out here so I could give you a beating. So, music hits. Bobby Lashley comes out. We get a giant pull apart. Big time pull apart. We even got a cameo from Von Wagner, who, by the way, for those that are interested, wrestled in main event tonight, WWE main event. If you want the results, just go to my main page. I think he teamed up with Duke Hudson and they lost to R-Truth and Shelton Benjamin. And I also believe, who beat Dana Brooke tonight? I almost said Ava Rain. No. Could somebody check my spoilers? I can't remember who it was, but it's somebody from NXT. But she beat Dana Brooke. But yeah, Von Wagner wrestled the main event tonight and he was helping with the pull apart. So, yeah, Duke Hudson was in the picture as well. You know, there was a lot going on. I mean, obviously can't show all that. Kiana James. Thank you, Chris. Kiana James, they're going to put her on the main roster. But I think she's going to be more of a character than an in-ring wrestler. We'll see. But it kind of feels like WWE may be going that route. And a lot of people feel she looks a lot like Stephanie. So we get this giant pull apart, and Brock is trying to get to Bobby. Now, look, if you look at Brock Lesnar's last 10 years plus, Brock Lesnar's had some pretty epic pull aparts on TV. I mean, Brock Lesnar, I remember a couple, one or two, there were people like, holy shit, holy shit. They were chanting, this is awesome. So tonight, they're fucking, you know, they're just going all out selling this. And Triple H is livid. Triple H starts yelling, you know, the fight is off. The fight is off. I told you not to put your hands on each other. The fight is off. And he said it like five times. And then Kevin Patrick is like, goes to commercial, and he's talking about Saudi Arabia. And never once did they say at that time, wait, did Triple H just say the fight is off? And meanwhile, we see advertisements later on that the match is still on. So I don't know what the fuck that was. I mean, it was just, I don't know, maybe just Triple H just improvised and just, you know, tried to play that off, you know, to sell the pull apart, you know. But as far as I know, the match is still on. So we will see what happens. But segment tonight was excellent. Segment tonight was absolutely excellent. Now, one thing that we got also that I thought was great, I thought it was great. In fact, you know, I originally posted it, but then I deleted it because a lot of people don't have a sense of humor out there. Remember Nia Jax and Lana? Remember every week Nia Jax was putting Lana to the table? I wouldn't mind if we had a new Nia Jax and Lana segment. Not every single week, but I wouldn't mind seeing this every week where Rhea Ripley nails Luke Gallows in the crown jewel. I wouldn't mind seeing that every fucking week. She got him again, everyone. Tonight, believe it or not, Carl Anderson gets the win over Damian Priest. Damian Priest was about to hit the reckoning. Carl Anderson turned it into a fruit roll-up. Then right after the match is over, after Carl Anderson wins, Judgment Day hits the ring. So does the OC. Judgment Day gets the upper hand. Dominic, once again, frog splash off the top rope onto AJ Styles. And Rhea Ripley, I don't know, man. I think Luke Gallows is kind of enjoying this. I want to see Rhea Ripley and Luke Gallows. Just, it's, you know, there's a comedy segment coming. Do they go out to dinner? And I know what some people are saying. Bastard, do not talk like that. This is Triple H's creative now. This is not Vince McMahon. No, I like segments like that. You know, I think back, will it ever be Mark Henry in China? You know, remember the restaurant scene? No, we'll never have special moments like that again. But I don't mind shit like that. You know, I don't need four-star match every single week, even though I thought we had a great one tonight with Rollins and Austin Theory. So, believe it or not, everyone, we already covered Raw. That's everything. That is everything for Raw. So we got, you know, I like just randomly getting into shit, you know, just to cover it the way I do. I don't do play-by-play. I don't do it in order. I give you an overview, what stood out to me, what I liked, disliked. And then if you want to watch it, if you didn't, it's up to you. If you want to watch it again, go right ahead. By the way, everyone, since it's not officially November 1st yet, and it's still Halloween, and it's still trick-or-treat, or should I say trick-or-trim, because it's back, everyone. Tonight's episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Michael Myers sure is scary, but the last thing you want to be is hairy on Halloween, especially if you're involved with someone. Luckily, my friends at Manscaped, they have launched their fourth generation performance package. Turn your bite-sized treats into king-size candy. Join 6 million men who trust Manscaped. Go to manscaped.com. Enter the promo code DONTONY. Get 20% off your order. Get free shipping. Have you ever tried to trim your balls in with a regular razor? Turns into a bad horror film? Luckily, Manscaped has the solution. The Performance Package 4.0. The holy grail of men's grooming. It's a full moon. I didn't write this, everyone. It's a full moon out there. Tackle that werewolf in your pants with the Lawnmower 4.0. It's got advanced skin-safe technology, helps reduce grooming accidents, especially if any of you have those fucking little blisters on your balls. No, they didn't write that. I did. Any of you have those blood blisters? Ever deal with one? How does Don Tony know that? No comment. They also, the 4.0 package includes the Weed Whacker, which is a Nerofay. It is a nose and ear trimmer. The last thing you want to do is go on that first date, have a significant other, male or female, go to suck on your earlobe, and there is a white pig piece of hair sticking out of it. Don't take that chance, everyone. You never know. You might pick up somebody. You might be at a red light and somebody enters your car. Drive me home, please. I'll do whatever you want. Be groomed, everyone. It also gets the Crop Preserver, which is basically deodorant for your balls. Crop Reviver, which keeps everything nice and copacetic. Now they give you a body buffer. You scrub, and then they give you two free gifts. They give you underwear, boxer shorts. They give you a nice travel case. I'm telling you, everyone, I am a customer. I will not reenact what I just advertised, but if you go to manscaped.com, enter the promo code DONTONY, get 20% off your order and free shipping. I try to make it fun, everyone, but seriously. Oh, and by the way, they just came out with, what is it called? Oh, it's the Shears 2.0 nail kit. So if you're one of the, you ever see like these crime shows and they always like focus like in Nebraska or Texas and they'll show you like a 80-year-old man and for some reason they have nails that look like, you know, like they're like pointy and you know they haven't cut their nails in about 20 years. Oh, it's fucking awful, man. So groom yourself. You never know. You never know. All right, let's move on. Impacted 101 this past week. SmackDown did 835 asterisk. Rampage did 378 asterisk. We had the World Series. SmackDown was on FS1. Rampage was on at the same time as the World Series. This week, don't knock any of the ratings at all. NXT tomorrow. Pretty loaded show. Mandy Rose celebrates 1 year as champion. Somebody is going to interrupt that celebration. Will it be a main roster wrestler? Hint. Bron Breakker returns. He will confront, I think, JD McDonagh or Apollo Crews. That may be happening. We may get Dominik Dijakovic tomorrow. We're not sure yet. R-Truth will be taking on Grayson Waller in the main event. Odyssey Jones returns to the ring. The Schism and their newest member, fourth generation wrestler, Ava Raine. And yes, Ava Raine will be an interesting debate Thursday with JD. So we had fun talking about Ava Raine on Wednesday. If you missed Wednesday's show, you got to check it out just for the Ava Raine stuff. Remember last Monday, we were wondering who's going to be the newest member of the Schism. There was only one person in podcast land that said it's going to be Ava Raine. You know who that podcaster was? Thea Hale will be taking on Kiana James. Now, Wednesday for Dynamite. The pressure is on, everyone. Unnecessary pressure, I might add. Jade Cargill is going to take on Marina Shafir. Chris Jericho will be taking on a former Ring of Honor world champion. Samoa Joe versus Brian Cage for the Ring of Honor TV title. Lee Moriarty versus Jon Moxley. Orange Cassidy versus Luchasaurus and Rey Fénix in a three-way for the AEW All Atlantic Championship. And Jay Lethal will be taking on Darby Allin. Sasha Banks, Naomi, more sightings together. Last week, they were at the world premiere of Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Here is one beautiful picture of Naomi and Sasha Banks. But they were not alone, everyone. They had company. They were hanging out with, obviously, you know, family in more ways than one. So very cool, very cool. Remember, we said it several months ago. They are returning. It is going to happen, you know, by the end of the year or the very beginning of 2023. They are returning. They are returning. I don't want, I'm not going to go out there and say I was first. I don't give a fuck. I just want them back. They are returning. Sasha Banks, Naomi are returning. The only thing we don't know is exactly when they will be returning, but they will be returning. Listen, nothing against Naomi. We've said it before. But, you know, if they're out of wrestling, you know, they're not sisters from other misters. They're not lovers. They're very good friends. But if you're, you know, any type of venue, look in the book, Mercedes, Vernado, why would you insist that Trinity Fatu, a.k.a. Naomi, is also there? It's not like that with the Road Warriors or, you know, the Brain Busters or the Heart Foundation or a tag team that was together for 20 years. You know, they were not a tag team all that long, yet they're always making appearances together. And I don't have any problem with it. It's not hard to figure. I almost said it's not easy. It's not hard to figure it out. They're going to come back, and they're going to come back as a tag team. Yes, I was doing this before scissoring became a thing. They're going to be back as a tag team. And when they come back, you know, because they have been seen so many places being booked together, that's going to continue when they return. And listen, if you pay close attention, especially to Sasha Banks interviews, you know, when you see her walking down the runway and being a model and everything else, that was also, you know, one of her aspirations in life wasn't just to be a wrestler. She wanted to be a runway model and model and do film as well. So basically what's happening is Sasha Banks is getting to do other things that she always wanted to do. And when she returns to WWE, she is going to have more of a special contract that will allow her to do some outside projects. And it's not a threat. It's not a threat to the other wrestlers there. Because understand something. You could have a wrestler in the back and say, hey, I want that deal. Well, guess what? If Hollywood ain't calling your fucking phone, you can have that deal all you want. Doesn't mean you're getting it, you know? So it's not a threat. In the end, they'll be back. It's not even a question. It's not a question. The only question is when. So with that said, before we do predictions for Crown Jewel, I got to share with you a really, really sensitive story. Definitely one you want to hear. You don't want to hear it, but you should. I don't know if you all are aware about what happened to Carmella. You know, last week we talked about, you know, the awful news, what Kayla Braxton revealed about that actor that passed away, Kevin Nash's son. Check this one out. Carmella posted a picture of her in a hospital. I'm going to take a slug of water. Now, okay, she's in the hospital. We haven't seen her in action. She posted this, and I want to share it with you. And for those in audio only, I will read it. It's not a long thing, but I think every single one of you out there are going to want to hear this. Carmella says, and I quote, "I've gone back and forth with myself about posting this because I'm not looking for any sort of sympathy. But since today is the last day of Infant Loss Awareness Month," I didn't even know that's what it was, "I wanted to share my story. Today, I was treated for an ectopic pregnancy. I never thought something like this would happen to me, especially after suffering from an early miscarriage in September. Nothing could prepare you for this news after getting a positive pregnancy test. I was cautiously optimistic this time around after the early loss I had already experienced, but was hoping for the best. I spent 12 hours in the emergency room on Saturday when I started experiencing some sharp pains on my left side. After several tests and ultrasounds, I was given the devastated news that this was, in fact, an abnormal pregnancy. The reason I am sharing all of this is because, in the moment, it feels so isolating. Why doesn't anyone ever talk about this? My husband and I watched Eliza's new comedy special last week, and she spoke openly about her miscarriage. I immediately burst into tears. She went on to explain that we should be speaking more openly about this topic so we as women don't blame ourselves and think there's something wrong with us. I want to do the same. I'm part of this statistic, and it's happening to me. Again, I'm not looking for sympathy. I know I'll eventually recover from all of this mentally, physically, and emotionally. For anyone dealing with any type of pregnancy loss, I want you to know your feelings and emotions are valid. There is nothing wrong with you. You are not alone." All right. I know a boatload of you out there are asking right now, what is that? I'm going to show you a picture. It's not graphics, just a drawing. But it really, I looked at, and this is what's awful about doing Google image searches. You know, even when you put the safe search setting on, you do see some graphic shit. So I'm not posting anything graphic. But this, I thought, was the easiest way I could show you what happened to Carmella. If you look on your screen, on the left is what a normal pregnancy looks like. The embryo is in the uterus, and, you know, baby grows in the uterus. You know, if you ever hear me cracking jokes, you know, and say, you know, where are you from? I say, my mother's uterus. Oh, that's a joke that I've been saying, you know, for 20 years. But it's no joke. That is what a normal pregnancy is. Now, if you look at the right, that is what an ectopic pregnancy is. The embryo gets stuck pretty much in the fallopian tube, and it starts growing in the fallopian tube. So remember what she wrote, that she started experiencing really bad pain in her left side. That's what happened to her. Instead of the, and think about this, she was pregnant in September, suffered a miscarriage, and within 2 months, she got pregnant again, and the embryo landed in a fallopian tube. It got stuck there. Basically, that's where her pain was coming from. So that's what happened to her over the weekend. So look, she didn't need to have an ectopic pregnancy for, you know, this show to send our thoughts and prayers. You know, I've always supported Carmella for many years. I mean, I have no issue with her, you know, personally, you know, professionally, you know, but it just goes, it really humanizes, you know, when I always talk about, especially mental health with people in wrestling, you know, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. You know, some of the biggest assholes out there are the ones with the, you know, most fragile mental health. And I'm not even talking in the pro wrestling world. Sometimes people cover up their depression and their loneliness and their failures by knocking everybody else's. I mean, I've seen it personally with people that I know. And that's why I don't, you know, that's why I really laid off, especially in haters, because you never know. You know, you could be the smoothest talker and you could really throw a dinger back at someone and really make them feel this big. And that might be enough to throw them over the edge. It's not worth it. So, you know, it really humanizes, you know, who we see on TV. So we send our thoughts, obviously, with Carmella and Corey Graves, because it does seem like, you know, they want to have a family. You know, so this is rough, extremely rough. So I wanted to share that. If you want to, put an easy smile on your face, yeah. Nothing against Tony Khan. We're not trashing Tony Khan today. But there you go. That's Tony Khan 5 years ago, dressed as the Macho Man Randy Savage. Somebody sent me that picture today. I never saw it before. So if you never saw Tony Khan dressed as the Macho Man, ooh, yeah, dig it. All right, and by the way, over the weekend, I posted on social media who I finally put my finger on it, who Tony Khan looks like. Now, I know a lot of people have said Rick Moranis. And yeah, maybe earlier Tony Khan without the facial hair, but obviously Tony Khan's look, it's with the facial hair, and there was always somebody on my mind and I couldn't put my finger on it, and I fucking figured it out this weekend. My friends, I think this is 50 times better than the Rick Moranis comparison. You know who Tony Khan looks like to yours truly? Come on, you got to give me credit on this one. Jeff Goldblum, The Fly. And don't tell me that if they did the remake of The Fly, that Tony Khan wouldn't be perfect for that fucking role. That is Tony Khan, Jeff Goldblum. They are brothers from other mothers. Just figure to lighten the mood a little bit. All right, let's do some crown jewel predictions and get out of here. All right, let's pull it on the screen. Okay. Now, I put the matches in this order, not based on importance, but I think it kind of helps us get through as far as, you know, the number of baby faces that win and a number of heels. Yes, there is a little bit of a balance. Definitely rare to have all baby faces, all heels win on a show. But I think Saudi Arabia is very, very easy to predict. And when I say that, who knows? I'll probably get like three or four wrong. So anyway, Crown Jewel this weekend, we have seven matches announced. If they announce Seth Rollins versus Mustafa Ali, I'm going with Seth Rollins to win. I expect the match to go 15 minutes minimum. I expect it to be extremely even, and I expect a sign of respect from Seth Rollins to Mustafa Ali after the match, and I think the crowd is going to eat it up. So if that match goes down, which I personally think it should, there is no reason why WWE holds back from that match, unless maybe Seth Rollins can't appear. There's always that possibility. Maybe Seth Rollins can't make the trip. That's always something to think about. Saudi Arabia is optional still, from what I hear. You know, sometimes it's probably a good idea to go. But anyway, let's get into the matches that are announced. The Usos defending the undisputed WWE Tag Team Championships against the Brawling Brutes. The Usos are 2 weeks away from becoming the longest reigning tag team champions of all time. They're 2 weeks away from breaking the New Day's record. They will break the New Day's record. The New Day, WWE still ranks them at the top. That doesn't mean the Usos can't hold the longest reign of all time. The Usos will break that record. They will retain their championships against the Brawling Brutes. If you had to bet the entire world on something, this match, without a doubt. So I'm going with the Usos to retain. Pretty easy there. All right, next. Another one that's very easy. Bianca Belair versus Bayley. Last woman standing match. Expect a clusterfuck. Expect a wild spot to go down. Asuka, Alexa Bliss will be there. Dakota Kai, Io Sky will be there. They will get involved. But in the end, Bianca Belair will retain her championship. Who knows? Wouldn't it be cool if Charlotte Flair appeared? I'm not saying that she will, but wouldn't it be something if somebody made an appearance and Charlotte could show up and it will not disqualify the match? Whether she shows up or she doesn't, Bianca Belair will retain that championship. And again, another outcome pretty easy to predict. Not much there. Okay, Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. Brock Lesnar is one of Saudi Arabia's most wanted. When Saudi is calling and WWE is going, Brock Lesnar is at the top of the list. And Brock Lesnar gets paid big to be there. In my honest opinion, there is no way Brock Lesnar loses this match. Bobby Lashley got a win over Brock Lesnar once before. And if you remember that time, it was very important to put under Bobby Lashley's future Hall of Fame resume, and Bobby Lashley loses no credibility by losing this match. Brock Lesnar, bet whatever you want on it, Brock Lesnar is going to win this match. As you see, it is kind of predictable. This, though, here's where it gets a little interesting. Because, look, the Usos are heels, but they're super over in Saudi Arabia. So they are still technically heels. So the Usos get a win there. Bianca Belair is a babyface, so we're 1-1. Then we just did the match. That's another babyface. So now we're 2-1 with Brock Lesnar. So now we got Braun Strowman versus Omos. And I got to be honest with you. You know, I love how they have pushed Omos lately doing the Andre the Giant cam. You know, it's a shame how so many people don't know what that is. For those that don't know, and I've talked about this before, when I used to watch WWF as a kid in the early 80s, what WWF would do is when Andre the Giant walked out to the ring, the best example that I could give you, Big John Studd's $10,000 Body Slam Challenge. That is the one where Chief J. Strongbow was going to come out, and then Joe McHugh, right? He's like, no, it's not. And then when Andre came out and he threw the curtain, look at the camera. The camera's not square with Andre. It's always looking upwards. And Andre, when he would come out in his matches, he would walk slowly. And Vince McMahon, 7 feet four, 458 pounds. And the camera would be almost on the floor looking up, made Andre look a foot taller. That's what they do with Omos. They don't do it with Braun. And Braun is a pretty tall guy. They only do it with Omos because they want to portray Omos to be even taller. So when you see even the interview segment today with Omos and MVP hyping up SmackDown and then Crown Jewel, the camera was all the way down here looking up. That's what they do with Omos. It's the Andre the Giant cam. That's what I've always coined it. So look it up. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. I want to go with Omos to win this, but this is Saudi Arabia. In Saudi Arabia, wait till you hear this reaction from Braun Strowman. I know not everybody likes Braun Strowman. I think he's done a great job since he's been back. I'm going with Braun Strowman to win this one. I think MVP will get involved in some capacity. But I think in the end, Braun Strowman gets the win. I think Omos will, you know, do a pretty good job, you know, in the ring, and Braun will sell for him. But in the end, Braun Strowman is going to get that win. So, next. Listen, this match was very, very difficult for me to predict. It's not even my appreciation for Karrion Kross. But again, you got to think Saudi Arabia mindset. Drew McIntyre is also tremendously over in Saudi Arabia. But I also feel in a case like this, Karrion Kross may need this win more than Drew McIntyre. Yes, Karrion Kross got the win at Extreme Rules. And yes, I expect some interference once again. I think Scarlett may bring another spray. But then again, I think about this. I almost think that we may see a repeat of Scarlett going to spray Mace in Drew's eyes. But I have, you know, the more I think about it, I could close my eyes and I can envision during a cage match. See, the thing is, Scarlett is going to be outside that cage. So how does Scarlett get inside that cage? Do you think Scarlett climbs the cage and goes over? That would be a lot to ask of Scarlett. Does she get someone to break the cage? But I think Scarlett somehow goes to spray Drew McIntyre with Mace, and then maybe Drew McIntyre ducks, and Karrion Kross gets sprayed this time. I want to go with Kross because I feel Kross needs this win more than Drew. It's going to be an interesting conversation Thursday with JD because we are going to talk about some of the signings that Triple H has made, bringing back some WWE releases. And I see what's going on online, and not everybody who's been brought back, a lot of people feel, you know, that they should be getting the push that they are. I'm not saying that Kross is in that category, but if Kross gets a loss, you know, like, where is this going to leave his status in WWE? Who does he go after next? You almost feel like he needs a little bit of momentum. But this is Saudi Arabia. The more I'm thinking about it, I want Kross to win, but I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre. I think Scarlett's interference is going to backfire. I'm going to go with Drew McIntyre. Fuck it. I went into tonight's show thinking that, wait a minute. This is tough, man. See, now I always feel like I got to take that back because the OC are super over in Saudi Arabia as well. You go look in the past, they are really over in Saudi Arabia. I can't help but to think that the OC are going to get the win here. You know what? Seth Rollins is still technically a heel. If Seth Rollins does wrestle against Mustafa Ali, then I'm sticking with Drew McIntyre getting that win. But if Seth Rollins is on that card, I'm going to switch over to Kross because I think there are way too many baby faces getting wins here. But I think in this match, I think there's only one outcome. I think AJ Styles has got to pin Dominic Mysterio. I think Rhea Ripley is going to get involved once again. I know she's not on this graphic, but they did change the graphic tonight. Rhea Ripley will be there. The OC have been hinting at someone negating Rhea Ripley. So who do they bring in? Who do they bring in? I mean, some people are fantasizing and they're bringing up Doudrop and they're bringing up others. But do the OC show up with a female wrestler? Don't know. If they show up with a female wrestler, OC, hands down, will get this win. If they don't, then I'm going with Judgment Day. I think Rhea Ripley, once again, maybe she gets Luke Gallows and the Crown Jewels. But nah, the OC don't need Dana Brooke. There's no update about Carl Anderson in New Japan. We got to see what they do. I expect something to come out of that. I don't think he's relinquishing that title. So, all right, I think the last match is coming up. Yeah, look, you don't take 2+ years, and part of my way of saying this, you don't flush it down the toilet with Logan Paul becoming undisputed WWE Universal Champion. Logan Paul is going to put on a fucking performance. I know he ruffled some feathers over the weekend because he made a remark like, after this weekend, fans will be forced to respect me. We all almost agree in unison that Logan Paul is probably better suited as a heel. He just comes off very cocky. Probably would be a much better heel than a babyface. But Logan Paul this weekend is going to put on a performance of a lifetime. Roman Reigns is going to sell his ass off to Logan Paul. You will see a lot of facial reactions from Roman Reigns where he's going to be surprised, shocked. You're going to see Paul Heyman, the white of his eyes, in shock of how much offense Logan Paul is going to get on Roman Reigns. This is going to be an absolute brawl. Will it be on the level of Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns? No. In the end, I expect Superman Punch Roman Reigns gets the win. He will knock out Logan Paul. And I know that'll be a little bit ironic because everybody is about the screws in the hand and only takes one shot. Logan Paul gets knocked out. And especially Logan Paul, you know, with his brother Jake Paul, who is a boxer now, you know, the last thing you would think is Logan Paul getting knocked out. And that's a good test for Logan Paul. You want to be a pro wrestler? You want to be a sports entertainer? You really want to go further? Well, how do you react if I tell you that you're going to get knocked out? You know, I guarantee to some people, their egos would get in the way and they'd have a very difficult time with it. I think Logan Paul, obviously he loses. No way Roman Reigns. It's not even a question. But I think Logan Paul is really going to put on a performance better than WrestleMania. And Roman Reigns is going to be right there walking him right through it. I think it's going to be, will it be a masterpiece? No, won't be a masterpiece. It's going to be really interesting to see how people that don't like WWE and the entertainment aspect and are not fans of Logan Paul, I'm very curious to see how they react to this match. But it's going to be off the hook. But Roman Reigns is going to retain. It's not even a question. By the way, speaking of Crown Jewel, again, Saturday, I will be here live recapping Crown Jewel. Now, it starts at 12 noon Eastern. We expect the event to finish around 3 p.m. Eastern. So as soon as Crown Jewel is over, Saturday afternoon, you are welcome to join me right here. Now, normally Saturday mornings, we do the Don Tony Show. We will obviously not be doing one at 11 a.m. Saturday because an hour later is Crown Jewel. Sunday, what we will do is we'll play it by ear. We got to see how much news breaks over the weekend. Because remember, Thursday, one final plug. Yours truly and JD from New York will be here. We are going to talk a lot of topics. The show's going to go long. It'll go as long as we need to. But remember, that takes place Thursday. So by then, we'll already have dynamites raining. We'll already have more news that comes out between today and Thursday. Wednesday, I have a show as well. So, you know, between Thursday night with JD and Saturday, it's only 2 days. How much news is going to come out in 48 hours? So if there's not a lot of news, then Sunday will be a sit-down episode. If there's enough news to get into, then maybe we'll do a combination of the shows, half and half. But one thing is for certain, I'll be here on Wednesday and Thursday and Saturday for Crown Jewel and Sunday. So, all right. With that said, everyone, I am out of here. Again, I hope everybody had a tremendous Halloween, great weekend. Much love. I thank you all for the kind words after watching my Sandy footage that I never released publicly before. That was yesterday's show. And I hope you could join me. You know, Wednesday I'll be here right after Dynamite. Listen, there's so much added pressure now with that Marina Shafir, Jade Cargill match. And it's listen, honestly, in defense of the women, it's unfair. Because, let's be honest, the people that take JD's side, if Shafir stinks up the joint, they're going to be all over on social media. They'll be all over Jade Cargill also. If the match is good, you're going to have all of the haters of JD all flocking, you know, like parasites, like trying to like eat them up and spit them out. This is not the right way to go, people. Both sides have their faults, but what transpired this weekend was not very oozy. It's not very oozy, and it sucks because one thing is for certain. Whether you're Jade Cargill or Rebel or Britt Baker, who all spoke out, and Peter Avalon, and all, so they all had to throw their little digs in there, and you know all this gang, you know, ganging up. You know, at the end of the day, both sides are wrestling fans. They like wrestling. They love wrestling, and to turn around and have these wars, it's unnecessary. Totally unnecessary. What transpired this weekend was awful, really awful, and I didn't have anything to do with it.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills, I paid the hosts, I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right, he's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.